ready, fans, as an American Hostile Championship Wrestling presents New Year's Knockout. That's right, featuring Graham Bell, Derek King, the Missouri Bad Boys. We'll also have AIWF World Tag Team Champions Jason Bond, off of us own R.W. Hardy. January the 19th, bell time is 7 p.m. The Holiday Inn, Grand Ballroom, 2781 Northwest Wood Boulevard in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Tickets are $10 for the first two rows or $8 for general admission. Kids 5 and under, free with a paid adult. For advanced tickets, dial 636-232-3313 to talk to Mark or call James at 573-359-8696. Would you like to go to the show for free? Well, follow us at Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter or follow us on Facebook at Shooting the Shiznit. And we'll give you full details on how to win two free tickets. Remember, January the 19th, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Be there!
Shooting the Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shooting the Shiznit sent you.
Blue Chew can now offer you the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis at a fraction of the price, discreetly delivered to your door. No waiting rooms, no appointments required, no embarrassing face-to-face meeting with your doctor. You're just minutes away from a heightened sex life.
Use promo code STS. STS, get your first month free. All you have to do is pay postage and handling. Now on with the show. Welcome STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri. I have waiting in the green room. Actually, I you know what? I had somebody over fixing her food. So she's going to eat while she's talking to us. it is Thunder Rosa. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys? It's a pleasure to be in my first podcast of the year, actually. So thank you for having me.
Oh, wow. First podcast of the year. That's awesome. I like to hear that. I want to start out, I mean, I know a little bit about you, you know, with the research I've done, and I've watched, you know, your matches, but I want to start out, where did you grow up, and was you a wrestling fan while you was growing up?
I grew up in Tijuana, Mexico, with the third of four girls. I didn't watch wrestling when I was growing up, so, yep, wrestling is an afterthought in my life, and now I'm a full-time wrestler, so.
That part of the world has a lot of great wrestlers. Now, have you been able to go back to that area and work in that area, your hometown?
You know what is so interesting? I never get booked in Tijuana. Only one time. I only work one time. And
that's
that was
crazy.
It. Tell me. I know.
So if anyone's listening that wants to book her, book her in her hometown, guys. Come on. Give her a chance over there. There's a couple of promotions that work on a regular basis, and that's always been a hotbed of professional wrestling. A lot of the big names now come from that area. And so you said you were three of four girls? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir. That's what I said. I'm the middle one, the middle child.
Oh, wow.
Rambunctious little child. Yeah, so...
Well, that's and that's always that many children. That's not always easy growing up with that many kids in the house. So I know that had to be fun.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was different. My mom was She was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was a taxi driver, so he made his own schedule. So he was, that's the interesting part. I didn't realize until now. Like, he was always there. Like, he was always there for lunch. He was always there for dinner, breakfast. Like, he'll probably be out, you know, working. But, you know, it was, I had a pretty nice childhood. You know, the only fact that is, like, my parents didn't let me play sports ever. Like, ever.
All right. So, how did you come from there to America? When did you move there to America?
I was 17 years old when my dad was able to help us get our green cards, and we were able to come to America legally, and I came to school because I wanted to graduate from a good school here in the United States. That was my whole goal when coming to the United States. I wanted to go to college, get an education, and, you know, be a professional that way, because, like, that was, like, always my focus in life, was to become a professional. Even when I was in Mexico, that's what I was always, like, I had jobs when I was in high school to, like, pay for my school and to be able to, like, you know, fulfill my dreams as far as that goes. So, yeah, I came here and I graduated from high school, and I went to college, and then I went and graduated from UC Berkeley, and I was the first of my family to graduate from college.
Awesome. Fantastic. Now, I know what your degree was in, but probably not a lot of people. Now, what was your degree in?
Sociology.
So you ended up, I heard something about you ended up helping with rehab and stuff like that. Tell us that story. How did you end up with that job?
So when I graduated from college, I worked in the school. And the school was like you were working with highly violent and kids that have a lot of like mental health problems. That school was like a continuation school because none of the other schools could deal with them. So we did a lot of restraints, and it was really heavy. So that's when like my interest from wrestling started happening, because I needed an outlet to get all that negativity that was, you know, in my at my work and all that stuff to let out. And then I got tired of that, and it was really hard. Then I moved to another job, and I was working as a supervisor for a rehab facility. I was there for 2 years, and this is when I'm, like, starting to, like, go to more shows and stuff like that. And one of my friends that used to work there, he invited me to a show. And he used to be a ring announcer, Donovan Troy. And then my husband and I, we went, and there was a tryout the next day, and I needed to go to work, but I called in sick, so I wanted to do the
Can you remember who was there at the show, at that first show?
Let me see. Ringo Scum was there, my trainer, Dylan Drake. I think one of the, he's now one of the referees in WWE.
Oh, okay.
Drake Younger was there. So the level of, like, wrestling was amazing. I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, really good wrestling. I was blown away by the athleticism of many of the people. So, I mean, I honestly didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but I'm doing it right now.
And this was, the place was called Thunder Road, right? And that's how you,
yes.
That's part of your, where you got your gimmick name from, which I thought was just so awesome. I mean, you know, everybody that's listened to this has probably had someone that's been in rehab or had problems with that. So it's always a good subject, a good way to make a living, but it's got to be tough to do and see cases that, you know, you worked so hard for that don't actually, you know, succeed a lot. So that's a bad thing. I seen something on Twitter in a couple of your interviews, and I want you to talk about it. And it was, you say, make today your bitch. So tell us about this attitude. I absolutely love it. So I love this. I love it. I really do.
Well, you know, it's like every day you wake up, and then you can wake up and complain about life and complain about what you don't have and, you know, and blame everybody for your problems. But at the end of the day, it's like you have to make the day your bitch. Like, you wake up and you say you have a goal. Like, today I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go to the gym. Going to take care of my business, you know, and have a goal for the day. And that's going to help you to, like, move forward to, you know, your monthly goals or your yearly goals. So, like, every day, that's what I try to do. I mean, there's some days that I honestly just want to sit down and relax because it's so hectic lately. But, I mean, well, most of the time I'm just like, okay, I can go to sleep, but I need to go and do more stuff, you know, and to make sure that tomorrow I'm not like, man, I wish I would have done it. So, that's my mentality. And then 2019, I'm more focused than I was last year. I had like a couple setbacks, but you know, I'm continue doing that, and I'm hoping that I'm not only gonna make my day my bitch, it's gonna be the year of Thunder Rosa.
You're gonna make the year the bitch. That's awesome. So we talked about you training. Talk to us about you going in for your first training, and did you want to get up the next morning? And there's always that horror story about that first day of training. So tell us about that.
I mean, the school that I was supposed to go to closed down because Roland Alexander passed away. And the funny story is, like, Shotzi, Blackheart, and me were like, we started at the same time, and we're going to go to the same school. So we paid $3,000 for the full training, and we didn't get no training, so we lost all our money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a horror story. We started training.
That's worse than actual training. Yeah, that is a horror story. Jeez.
Yeah. So we were, like, looking around, and I went with her a couple times at with the Stoner U or Hootslam for just to train, just to get my feet wet. But my style of training was different, so I wanted to start somewhere else. So they opened Gold Mine Gold Rush, and I honestly was ready. I was ready for the training. I physically trained in the gym and outside. My husband helped me a lot to get in conditioning level, because we had like 2 weeks of Hell Week before we got in the ring. So I honestly, like, I was just waiting for everybody to vomit. Because I was like, oh, you guys are, we're done? We're done with the thing? Okay, what's next? You know, that was like my whole attitude. So I came prepared. I came prepared because I was like the only girl in the class. So I didn't want to be the one that everybody's like, come on, girl. You can't even do a push-up? Oh, that's so sorry. I was like, hell no, I'm gonna be yelling at the guys, come on, guy, you can even do a push-up? You were so sorry. I want to be the one.
Was anybody in your class, is there anyone else that came out of your class that we would know?
No, I mean, like I said, Shotzi started at the same time as I did, and we've been like the ones that have been more active in the indies from that time. And then Jeff Cobb was already wrestling, but he was in Sacramento. So no, I think that's pretty much what it was, I think.
Wow. And then how long was your training before you had that first match?
10 months.
Wow,
and my first match was by accident. And my first match was by accident because somebody got hurt, and I was forced to go to the show. I didn't want to go. I was like, I was one of those days, man. I worked so much, and like I trained so much a week. I was sore, and I threw my back too, because I was, you know, when you start training, you don't know how to like bump, so you're bumping all weird. My back was like jacked up, and my husband is like, you need to get in this car right now. You know, wipe your little tears, and go to the seminar. Something good is going to happen for you. And I'm like, nah, come on, man. You always say that. I'm just like, I'm over it. I just want to sleep. And he forced me to come to the show. I went to the show. I did the seminar. And then after the seminar, this in Oroville, PCW is called, they asked me, can you wrestle? And I kind of look at the guy. I'm like, well, duh. I've been training for 10 months. I can't probably wrestle. Yeah. And he's like, you have a match tonight. It's going to be a squash match, but whatever. And that's how I had my first squash match.
Awesome, awesome. Was who was the seminar with? Was it someone that we knew, or they were just bringing in some?
No, it's one of the guys from Northern California, Mr. MVP.
That's great, yeah. Because you know those seminars are something that I'm originally from the Memphis, Tennessee area, and I always told all the boys, go to seminars, be seen, and they just don't take the time to do it. Some of these seminars are, and if you're a worker, you're listening to me right now, these seminars are $20, $30. I mean, you can learn so much from them for such a least amount of money. So,
perfect example, this Saturday I had a seminar. The seminar was like valuable, because you talk about nothing but psychology, and the seminar was free.
Awesome, awesome.
And yeah. it was with somebody that was. It's not like, you know, a nobody. It was somebody that takes his time and wanted to share this. It was like only three. How many people? I don't know. There was like 15 of us, but a lot of them were in like active wrestlers that I work with them all the time, and I was kind of like, man, this is like important stuff, you know? So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I even listen to people now where they'll tell me something new that, you know, I've been around the business for 30 years, and I think, you know, well, I know everything about psychology. I could help anybody. And then all of a sudden, some guy comes up and says, do you ever think about the distance that you're with your opponent? You know, you shouldn't go a certain distance away from your – and I'm like, you know, I never thought about that. So, yeah, seminars will help you guys. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial. We're going to be right back. Get ready, fans. As an American Hostile Championship Wrestling presents New Year's Knockout. That's right, featuring Graham Bell, Derek King, the Missouri Bad Boys. We'll also have AIWF World Tag Team Champions Jason Vaughn, off of us own R.W. Hardy. January the 19th, bell time is 7 p.m. The Holiday Inn, Grand Ballroom, 2781 Northwest Wood Boulevard in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Tickets are $10 for the first two rows or $8 for general admission. Kids 5 and under, free with a paid adult. For advanced tickets, dial 636-232-3313 to talk to Mark or call James at 573-359-8696. Would you like to go to the show for free? Well, follow us at Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter or follow us on Facebook at Shooting the Shiznit. And we'll give you full details on how to win two free tickets. Remember, January the 19th, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Be there!
This is your bedroom. This is your bedroom with Blue Chew. Blue Chew uses the same active ingredients as in Viagra or Cialis, but now comes in chewable form. Chewable means better, cheaper, and works faster than pills.
I've tried Cialis, I've tried Viagra. Blue Chew works the best. It's a fraction of the cost.
Blue Chew's definitely gotten the job done.
No in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line, no more awkwardness.
Blue Chew allowed me to have more sexual freedom because it kicked in and worked faster.
Ordering Blue Chew is an absolute no-brainer for any man.
Blue Chew makes my girlfriend, like, want to put up with me in bed.
I felt like I did when I didn't have ED.
Order online to get your first month free.
I want my girlfriend to want me, and with Blue Chew, she really does. Blue Chew is the future of manhood.
Go to BlueChew.com and restart the party. Or call 800-232-8803. 800-232-8803.
That's BlueChew.com. Promo STS, and you get to try it for free.
Wow.
I hear you.
Wow.
Shooting the Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shooting the Shiznit sent you.
All right, back from commercial with Thunder Rosa. Thunder, Rosa, or what you want me to call you. I see that you went to Stardom, so I think that's awesome. Stardom is going to try to do, is doing a show at WrestleMania weekend, which I think is pretty awesome. But it's like the promotion that all the women, either in the States, Japan, UK, no matter where you're at, as a woman, you want to go work Stardom. So tell me how did that come about, and how did you get to work in Stardom?
I was like at the right place at the right time. That's what happened. And they needed a girl. And the USA Stardom representative, Melissa Chiller, Melissa asked me if I was interested in going, and I said yes. This interesting story is, like, I didn't have a passport. And, you know, when you're an American citizen, it's easier to get a passport than when you're a Mexican citizen. So I literally, like, literally had 3 weeks to get my passport. And I drove from Oakland to San Diego to get my passport and back. And I had to go to work the next day.
Wow.
So it was crazy. I was like, oh, my God. No, but the craziest thing is you have to make an appointment because they give you a passport the same day. There was no appointments available, and the only one that was available was the next day after she gave me that phone call. So I dropped everything and went and did it, and I don't regret anything. It was great.
Now, who did you say called you? Who called you?
Cheerleader Melissa.
Okay. And when Cheerleader Melissa called you, when you get there, when you what kind of trip is that from your home to – Japan there? How long is that flight?
It was 10 hours.
Oh, great. Well, it's not from as bad as I thought it would be. Yeah, that's. I guess you got to sleep and watch TV or something like that. But you get to Stardom, do they, because I've heard a lot of things about when you get into like the Stardom Dojo or whatever what they call it, then you have to actually train with the girls, or did you have to do a tryout? How did all that work when you got there?
No, you train with the girls. You train with the girls, and you just follow their direction. That's what you do, pretty much. And like I said, I was very new. I was like three months in. I had less than 10 matches when I went there.
Oh, wow.
So I had to learn quick, real quick. I'm telling you, like, that experience right there was invaluable. Like, it made me the wrestler that I am right now. Relentless, unstoppable, and, like, I don't take crap from anybody. I've learned that.
Right. And that was, you know, the language barrier. I've always thought about that. Is it tough to be able to, you're working somebody in the ring that you don't speak the language with them?
The first matches was the most difficult because I was still kind of like I told you, very new, and a lot of the terms were in Spanish. And I was trained American. I wasn't trained lucha. So when they were calling stuff, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And also, that's what I'm telling you. Yeah. I had to learn real quick.
Well, that's awesome. I know that had to be a great experience. Let's talk about, now, a lot of people know you as Cobra Moon, a great character in Lucha Underground, and just one of those.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it. And that's one of the things, when they brought the character to you, did they just bring it to you, say, I want you to do this, this, and this? Or was it, this is the name, this is kind of her character? Because I know Lucha Underground is a little different than a lot. It's a lot of character development. And so, or did you have any control whatsoever with the character?
No, I pretty much set up the skeleton of the character, and I just took it as my own. And they and honestly, like, with Lucha Underground, they'll let you, like, play with the characters. That's why, like, some of the characters come so more organic, you know, and they get over with the crowd so well because they let you play with them. And you can, you know, add or take stuff out or whatever. So for me, again, I was super new, so I did what they told me to do, but I also, like, put my 3 cents in it. And it's been a really good experience.
Just awesome. I mean, I liked. I've loved the feel of Lucha Underground, the way it looked. You do? Do you have any exclusives for us to tell us if there's going to be a new season or not?
You know as much as I know. Nothing.
That's right. That's what everyone is saying. So tell us how many shows, because I hear it was a grind when it came to doing a whole season of that. Now, when you went in, how many shows, say a day or a week that you guys were doing?
We're doing, the last season, we were doing 6 shows a week, and it was 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and 2 shows Sunday.
And did you have to show up to the show if you were not on the show, or was it just the shows that you were on?
I mean, you had to just for call time, and then they will set up the time, and then if you weren't booked, you could leave. You know, so it was pretty relaxed. I mean, remember, like, a lot of us, like, were flying back and forth. So some of us stayed there for, like, 3 weeks. Some of us, like, came back home. So if they didn't fly you in, that means that you weren't booked.
Right. And then you were able to do all the vignettes in between that, the matches and stuff. That just had to be so cool.
I love that. This is my favorite part of all of it.
Oh, really?
Because, like, oh, yeah. Because the sets are so cool, and when you like have sets outside and then you have to do all the kung fu fights, oh my God, that was so much fun.
The first couple episodes when I watched that, I was like, man, this is really different, and I'm not sure I'm going to like this. But, you know, in being an old school fan, there was a lot of people that shit on it and said, I don't like it. But, man, it just it really grew on me, and a lot of my friends are huge Lucha Underground fans. I wished it was on Netflix for a while, which I thought was really neat. But I wish it would get, there'd be a little bit more exposure. But I think a lot of those people that were on Lucha Underground are just, you know, are pretty much stars now. And that was, I was thinking about that. Do they not let you, or did you not want to? Or have you done the Cobra Moon, you know, have you worked as Cobra Moon outside of Lucha Underground?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of Lucha shows and stuff like that. I'm also signed up for a while. I have a couple episodes there. Ask Cobra Moon. But honestly, like, they haven't really asked for the character because, like, I was really aimed for, I was a manager for a long time. So I don't think they think I can wrestle, you know? So that's kind of hard to, like, translate that character to, you know, the indies. I mean, I offer it all the time, but sometimes successfully, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I'm focusing, again, a lot on Thunder Rosa. And that's what is getting over. And I continue to do that, and I continue to strive to be the best that I can and to not stay stagnant, you know. I think that's
right,
the most important part.
I'm just thinking gimmick sales and autographs and, you know, Lucha Underground superstar, Cobra Moon, you know, come get an autograph. I'm trying to make extra money for you.
I mean, I use it all the time. I mean, for signings, I use Cobra Moon a lot. I'm not going to lie. I use it.
Awesome.
I use Cobra Moon one day, Thunder Rosa another day. So it works in my favor.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I like that. Now, with your current tag team partner, Twisted Sisters, I absolutely love that name. I know this tells you how old I am, but I actually seen the real Twisted Sister one time live in concert. So as soon as I saw the name, I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I didn't even know it was you. And you were just recently on the recent Ring of Honor tapings. Tell us about that team, how it started. And y'all got more dates for Ring of Honor and such like that.
So it started because her and I were, like, booked to fight each other all the time. And one of those times she was driving with us and my husband was in the car and she's like, girls, how about we just, like, team you guys together and do, like, give us some names. And then he put Twisted Sisters, so he put a couple of them, and then the fans voted for Twisted Sisters. And then we start tagging. Right,
and where did y'all put that up on Twitter? You put it up on Twitter?
Yeah, I think so. Twitter or Facebook, one of those two.
And they voted for Twisted Sisters. Awesome. And that's both of you guys have the makeup, the whole I love it. If you haven't seen it, I believe it was 2 weeks ago on ROH. Y'all had a really good match. I love tag team wrestling. I love the whole psychology of it where you're going for the hot tag and you know, as a babyface team, you go for the hot tag and then say you do get the hot tag and eventually the heel cuts that. I love double heat. I love the double heat. I even watch, you know, I've never done triple heat, but the double heat I do like. I like the idea of making the comeback or tagging when the referee doesn't see it and stuff like that. I was just a huge tag team mark, and then when I started understanding the business, I spent years just watching matches so that I could see how, you know, say the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll, old teams like that tagged in and out. That's always fun to watch. Is there any tag team that you girls watch on a regular basis?
I mean, I watch, like, different ones. I like, which they always make fun of, Kasarian and Christopher Daniels. And because like we were like from California, and it was so funny because we were doing some moves, right? And then we went to our we were watching ROH together, and we saw that they do the same stuff. And I'm like, dude, we can't do that anymore. So I really enjoy them. They're solid. I love their work. Live is even better. Who else we watch? I watch some stuff right now on WWE with Cesaro and what's his name? I'm terrible with names. Cesaro and Sheamus. Or the new.
The New Day.
Like some of the like cool little cutoffs and stuff like that. I was like, oh, I can use this. Oh, I can use that. So like, I bring it to like to the table. Hey, dude, I saw this and saw that. And then she watched a lot of old school wrestling.
And, I love that.
I don't know
what the idea that
it,
you're, you know, you said a few things here that just it's going to make me a bigger fan of yours because you're continuously learning, and that's part to make you a superstar, make you better. So tell us, I know everyone's dream in the business usually is going to the WWE. So is this something that you've either went to one of their camps yet, or have you?
No.
Okay.
No, that's actually one of my goals in wrestling, because you know you gotta shoot for the stars. It's like when I came from Mexico, I wanted to go to like the Autonomous University of Tijuana, and then I ended up going to UC Berkeley. So my goals always get bigger. At first I was like, you know what, I just want to enjoy the journey and do this, do that. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what, why not? You know, like a lot of my friends are in WWE. I've seen them grow. I've seen them, we were in the same shows. I know I have what it takes, you know. I'm educated, I'm a smart, very hungry, very humble person. I like to learn. I speak two languages. I like to sing. I like to dance. I like to volunteer. I got a lot of qualities that they're looking for.
So you do. Like you that. Really do. And that Mae yeah. Young is one of the things that they've been doing the last 2 years. We get to see a lot of girls that we haven't seen. And they seem to be, there's all, you know, we're doing the first this, first that now, which, you know, we know there's been tons of pay-per-views with girls, and, you know, other companies run it. But it was, you know, this past year's WWE showing a main event, you know, and there's rumors that we're going to have a main event WrestleMania with the girls. So I'm excited. I've been a fan of, I was a fan of Japanese wrestling girls back Jumping Bob Angels, and with Dump.
Oh, yes, I love them too.
Yeah, Dump and Bull were my two favorite. I absolutely loved them. They were these big, huge heels, and I've always, every time I see Nia Jax, I say, that's Dump Masamudo. They're not doing that. If they did that, she would be over, kind of thing. But those were my two favorite teams growing up. And yeah, the Jumping Bob Angels, man, that's. That would be some matches to watch, but I don't know if you girls could get it, if anyone could keep up with you. So that was always a different speed. So,
when I can do it, I have it on a heart. But those are the girls I would look up to.
Right, right. I missed you there. You said what now? The people that you look up to.
Well, you were talking about the Jumping Bob Angels, right?
Right, right.
My friend had me watch that for like 3 hours before I started before I started tagging with Holidad, and she's like, you gotta be like this. However, like you said, they were so fast. Now that I have intergender tag team partners, we're like, some of my partners are faster than I am, so, but I'm able to do a lot of those stuff that the girls were doing with guys. So it's really cool. That's why I like it. It's really, really awesome.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, we're into the interview here. We're running out of time. I want you to put all your stuff over. And one of the things that we don't want to forget about, it is January, and you have a calendar out right now. So tell everybody how to get merch from you and how to reach you on social media.
Reach me on social media at ThunderRosa22 and Instagram and Twitter. Facebook is ThunderRosa2. Those are the things that I use the most. And also for any bookings, thunderrosa22@gmail.com. If you guys want to purchase the calendar, I have like 5 left.
Oh, wow.
So you can purchase them there. After they're gone, and probably, unless special order, I will order them. But more merchandise, new merchandise is coming up in a couple weeks. So I usually post it on social media, and you can get it directly through me.
There you go, guys. Be looking for any new stuff coming up. Hey, we appreciate you coming. As always, guys, we appreciate you listening. Same bat time, same bat channel on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there. And as you guys know, I love my mama. Thank you, Rose. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Graphic design is very important. Your logo is the first image potential customers see. What kind of impression would you want to make today? Need a podcast logo or a t-shirt design? KT does art. Her name has become synonymous with quality and professionalism in the graphic design community. She specializes in graphic design, painting, and more. She provides affordable commissions and professional quality with a timely delivery. Contact KT via email at kt_does_art@yahoo.com. Check out her Instagram at instagram.com/kt_does_art.
Hey, that was another great episode of Shoot the Shit, man. Thank you for listening. We're always looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. Do you want a Shoot the Shiznit t-shirt? We'll go to wehavemerch.com. Wehavemerch.com. Shirts start at only $12.99 and sizes up to 6XL. A big shout out to our sponsors this month. We do appreciate it. You can also go to patreon.com/shootingthishiznit. And for only $1, you'll get the special feed every month where you get episodes commercial free. And also, there are all the bloopers are in there. Yeah, that's right, all the bloopers. A special thanks to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestlers Between the Sheets. That's www.pwbts.com. Gene Jackson at localsthelegends.com. And Sean Garmer at Wrestling the Max website. And that's w2mnet.com. You can follow me, Brian Trammell, at Comic Book Mark BT. You can catch us on Instagram at BT Shoot the Shiznit. That's right. And remember, we have a Facebook site, a actual Shoot the Shiznit Facebook site. We have the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. If you act a fool on there, we'll kick you out. You can listen to all the archives at www.stspod.club. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, and we are also on Spotify. Hey, a big podcast roll call. Our buddy Suplex and Limits, Creative Control, keeping it 100. Max and Josh over at P3 Radio. And non-wrestling podcasts, we got Who's Right Podcast, Po' Boys Podcast, and a new one added this month. Well, two new ones, Man Brain Podcast and Unbelievably Stupid Podcast. That's right. I'm Brian Trammell. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Good night.